Our scripture reading today comes from Exodus chapter 13, 17 through 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearby. For God said, "The people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war." So he led the people around towards the Red Sea, along the road of the wilderness. And the Israelites left the land of Egypt in battle formation. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, because Joseph had made the Israelites swear a solemn oath, saying, "God will certainly come to your aid. Then you must take my bones with you from this place." They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and in a pillar of fire to give them light at night, so that they could travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Our Father, thank you for your wise guidance. We think we know what's best for us and where we should go, but you lead us exactly where we need to be, to become the people you want us to be. Thank you for the blessed assurance that you are always with us. Even when we feel lost and unheard, you know exactly where we are and where we're going. Strengthen us, Lord, on the days when we feel like we're wandering. Help us to feel your presence in our lives. Help us to remember all you've done to liberate us and all that you promised to do to restore us to you. Help us to hear your voice. And when we pray, "Let your will be done," help us not just to say it, but let it be the cry of our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much. You may be seated. So in 1912, the Olympics were held in Stockholm, Sweden. That year, there was a Japanese athlete who ran the marathon. His name was Shizu Kanakuri. He had trained for years and years for the marathon. This was his one chance. About halfway through the marathon, he realized not only was he performing poorly, but it's the worst he's ever done before. And he did not want to dishonor his country. So Shizu Kanakuri, in the middle of the race, just dropped out. He quit, went back to his hotel room, didn't even tell the officials, cleaned out his stuff, and went back to Japan. So that was in 1912. In 1966, people kind of got wind of this. By the way, he was considered a missing person in Sweden for over 50 years. In 1966, a media company tracked him down in Japan and asked him to come back, and it's kind of a publicity stunt, but asked him to finish the marathon that he had started. And so Shizu Kanakuri, by the way, here's the before and after picture. His official time in running the marathon was 54 years, 8 months, 6 days, 5 hours, 32 minutes, and 20.4 seconds. And he said, "It was a long marathon. Along the way, I had 6 children and 10 grandchildren," right? So here was a race that should have taken just a couple of hours, but it took a lifetime. So today we're going to talk about the guidance of God. Does God still make his will knowable and accessible to us? If so, how? And if he does, how do we distinguish God's voice from our own voice? How do we distinguish God's will from our wants and wishes, right? How do we really hear God's voice? And so we're following the Exodus event as the Israelites come out of slavery from Egypt. They've been slaves for 400 years. They go out going toward a new home. And this was a journey that from Egypt to the Holy Land should take a couple of weeks and or a couple months, right? They did it in 40 years, right? They spent a lifetime. They spent an entire generation in the wilderness. But every step, that was a journey that took a lot longer than it should have. Every step along the way, God's guidance was very clear, which is good for them, but good for us also. Because we can look and see how the Israelites experienced guidance, and so now we can learn how to experience guidance in our own marathon journey with God. So you heard Marissa read this just a moment ago. The Pharaoh let the people go. God did not lead them along the road of the Philistines, okay, even though it was nearby. For God said, "The people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war." So he led the people toward the Red Sea and the road of the wilderness. And the Israelites, notice that last part, they went out in battle formation. Okay, what's going on here? Well, going from Egypt to Palestine, there are two roads you can take. One is the coastal road. This was the road most people would take on this route, but it had two things going against them. One, it was heavily fortified with Egyptian fortresses and outposts. So if the Pharaoh changed his mind, and he did, by the way, if they had been on the coastal road, they would have been surrounded by troops immediately, okay, and there would have been very little chance for survival or deliverance. But even worse than this, the Philistines, that was the Philistine road. These were an uber-warlike people who we see in the rest of the Old Testament. Notice here, the Israelites go out in battle formation. We are ready to take on the world. But God knew otherwise. They were not nearly as ready as they thought they were. Okay. Now, doesn't God work this way still sometimes? We think we're ready. We think we're ready to be married now. We think we're ready for that career change now. We think we're ready for that promotion now. We think we're ready for that opportunity now. Now, when God sometimes takes us along the longer road, the wilderness road, He takes us a lot further along a more difficult path that takes us a lot longer to get there. Why? Because we're not as ready as we think we might be. Listen, isn't it good to know? And today we're talking about what does God want. Isn't it good to know, in trying to figure out what God wants, that God already knows what we need? We're trying to figure out what God wants, but He already knows what we need. Trust Him. Here's why God took His people along the wilderness road. Because He was taking His people to a place of absolute dependence on Him. He needed to take His people to a place where all they had was God, which, by the way, if you really want to learn how to listen to God, the next time you're in that situation where God is all you have, that's it. That's a time when you really learn how to listen to His voice. So I've lived in Tulsa now for nearly 2 decades. I have a map of Tulsa in my head, right? So when I hear the morning traffic report, I know how to work around whatever problems might be there. If I hear there's a traffic jam at I-44 and 169, hey, I'll just avoid that. I'll find another way in. If I hear there's a fender bender at Admiral and Sheridan, hey, I know that. I'll just avoid that area. If I hear there's a problem on the IDL at the Detroit exit off the VA, hey, I have that mapped out in my head. I know I can find my own way, which guarantees I'll pretty much end up in a construction zone. All right. But I have that map in my head, right? But now if I'm visiting Chicago, I have no clue about Chicago. I've been there a couple of times. But if I hear that it takes 38 minutes to go from the cave to the junction and there's a snag on the Nagel curve, I have no idea what that means. But if I have my friend Brian in the car who lives in Chicago and has lived in Chicago for as long as I've lived in Tulsa, I will learn how to trust his voice. Sometimes God will take you to a place where you don't have it all mapped out. And you're going to have to listen to His voice for direction. Where do you turn? When do you stop? When do you wait? When do you go? God took His people into the wilderness. There was no maps. There was no GPS. There was no road. They had to listen to God. Could it be the next time you hit a difficult path, the next time you're in the wilderness, God is taking you to a place of absolute dependence on Him so you can learn to recognize His voice? So now, before we get to the main part of the scripture, I do need to pause here. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Joseph had made the Israelites swear a solemn oath, God will certainly come to your aid. Then you must take my bones out of this place. So Joseph had been the first slave in Egypt, the first Israelite slave in Egypt, and he had cleared the way. And actually, it was short term, there was rescue, but long term, it didn't work out too well. Joseph was the first one, and he had been an assistant to the Pharaoh. And he said, when I die, don't leave me buried here. Take me back home. Now, I've been to Mount Vernon, as many of you have. Okay? George Washington is buried there at his old plantation, and you can see the crypt where he and Martha are laid to rest. That was 200 years ago. This was 400 years between Moses and Joseph. This was a long time ago. And so as they're carrying a big old bag of bones out of Egypt, don't you see that they were carrying a reminder? God will certainly come to your aid. 400 years. So as they're carrying Joseph's bones out, they're carrying a tangible reminder. God is sometimes really slow in keeping His promises, or it seems. Doesn't it seem sometimes God is that way? Just glacially slow to keep His promises. But God will always fulfill His promises. and he'll provide in the in-between time. So now here's where we come to the heart of this passage. In dealing with the guidance of God and his direction for our life, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and in a pillar of fire to guide them at night, so that they could travel by day or night. Psalm 74 says, "Yours is the day, yours is the night." The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place from in front of the people. Now, here's where we need to understand the concept of the ancient caravan. In this part of the world, in the ancient desert, okay, you could be a part of a caravan that might stretch for miles. How did you know you were going in the right direction? How did you know that your party or your segment didn't get separated from the rest of the caravan? Well, up front would be a large pot, a large iron pot with a fire inside of it. They would stoke a fire inside. They would carry it by poles. If you can imagine, like you see in the ancient world, you see like Cleopatra being carried on one of those thingy-mo-boppers. I don't know what else to call it. But so they would rig up a pot like that. And so as you were traveling in the caravan, the head of the caravan may be miles ahead, but you just looked for the column of smoke and you would stay connected in. Or at night in the darkness of the desert, you'll see the glow in the distance. The pillar, in fact, it's a word here that means something standing. This was more than just a human pot of fire. This was God himself giving his people guidance. A cloud, obvious, visible in the day. Fire, obvious and visible at night. So how do we experience the guidance of God? Wouldn't it be neat if we had a pillar guiding us everywhere we went? We don't. I would contend what we have is even better. And here's my simple application. The pillar was there. You just had to look at it and follow it. You don't have to overthink it. You don't have to make it more complicated than what it is. Listen, God has given us some very simple and obvious tools to guide us through life. Don't overthink it. Let me point out a couple of those. He's given us this. He's given us the scripture. It's here that we learn the tone of God's voice, his cadence, his rhythm. Here we recognize him when he speaks. We learn his voice. So I've used this a ton, but I don't have any better experience than this. When my wife and I started dating 2,500 years ago, she would call on the phone. There was no caller ID then, so she would have to identify herself. This is Paula. Now, 25 years later, I don't need caller ID. I recognize her voice instantly upon her first word. And in fact, I can usually tell what kind of mood she is in and whether or not I'm in trouble by just those few first words, right? Because I know her voice better than I know my own. Here's where we start to listen to God's voice. I'm working through Psalm 103 right now. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget his benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things so that your strength is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love and kindness. There's so much there about who God is and who God isn't and what he wants to do in life. It's a place where we learn to recognize his character and his voice. Listen, we practice reading the scripture when times are good so that we're prepared when times are bad. If you want to be prepared when times are bad, you have to practice these things when times are good. Okay? So it's obvious. It's right here. What else do we have? We have prayer. Now, listen to me very carefully. Talking is an act of trusting. We share ourselves, we share our hearts with people that we really trust. We share our secrets with people that we trust. Talking is an act of trusting. And so as we pray, do you see what you're doing? It's not just about changing the circumstances, it's you changing. It's you learning to trust God. And so here's what I would encourage you to do. Pray your distractions. Quit worrying about all the Baptist slang and lingo that you learned. and pray what's really on your mind. Instead of saying, oh God, lead, guide, and direct me, which by the way means all the same thing, you know. Why don't you say, God, I can't stand that person at work, okay? Jeff Elkins is driving me crazy. I can't stand him. But you say I'm to love him. I don't get how I'm supposed to do that, okay? That's what's on your mind anyway. Why not pray that? Or instead of praying over your meal, God, use this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to your service. Why don't you pray this? God, I have a complicated relationship with food. You know what? That's where I go for comfort, and I'm just not taking care of myself. Help me to know when to push back from the table today. Why don't you pray what you're really concerned about? Because that talking is an act of trusting. Again, you've got to practice this when times are good so that you're prepared when times are bad. Because you won't be prepared when times are bad if you're not practicing when times are good. One more. The community of other Christians. There is no tool, I think, that is more powerful practically than having a voice of fellow Christians around you when you face decisions. In fact, when you really need God's guidance, okay, here's a big wake-up call. Your gut is not the Holy Spirit. Your gut is not the Holy Spirit. Okay, and the bigger the decision you face, the more imperative it is that you avail yourself to the wisdom that other people can provide. Now, I'm probably like you in that I have a lot of people that are willing to give me advice who I don't trust or who I don't know. But I have people in my life that I have known over the long haul, and more than that, I've seen them make good decisions, and more than that, I trust that the Holy Spirit is in their life. And so when I ask their opinion or they offer me their opinion, I listen very carefully. If you don't avail yourself to the wise counsel of other people, you will cut off one of the surest means for God to speak truth into your life, because your gut's not the Holy Spirit. You see, none of this is rocket science, is it? The pillar is right there in front of us. Through reading the scripture, through prayer, through community, it's right there. And you've got to practice these things when times are good so that you're prepared when times are bad. We are to live our whole lives, listen to me, we are to live our whole lives within sight of the smoke and inside the glow of God's grace. Now, I said something at the beginning of worship that some of you might have flagged, and maybe you didn't like it. That's too bad, as you didn't like it. But here it is. God is not on your side as much as he is at your side. Now, I want you to think about that. And too often in our culture, we think God is on our side on certain arguments. Thinking that God is on our side, it produces pride. Thinking God is at our side produces humility. Thinking that God is on our side produces arrogance. Thinking God is at our side, we realize that he is available to us and we are available to him. If you think you have God already all figured out, why would he try to speak? It's when we open up to the possibility of God giving us his guidance. That's where we experience him, especially when we're in a place where we must hear his voice. So, before we finish up here today, I want to give you some of the best tools I've heard on guidance over the years, okay? This comes at with about 20 years of being a pastor and learning and reading and experiencing life. And if I were to say, here's the best advice I could give on discerning direction, outside just hearing the straight up voice of God, here's some things that I would say. First of all, let's say you face a choice. You have A or B. You have that fork in the road. Sometimes we default and we think, okay, one of these must be God's will, A or B. Maybe. But maybe not. Maybe what God is looking for is not you choosing A or B. As Thomas Merton said years ago, the desire to please God is what pleases God. And so your first decision should be, God, I don't want to please myself. I want to please you. And if it is your chief motivation to please God, I think you can choose A or B, and it's going to be okay. In other words, cut yourself some slack. Relax in making a decision. Focus on pleasing God, and all the details will take care of themselves. Second piece of advice I would give is this. Let's say you face that fork in the road again, A or B. One road looks easy, the other one looks difficult. 9 times out of 10, it's the difficult path that's the right one. Because God will take you on the wilderness road a whole lot more often than he'll take you on the coastal road. And didn't Jesus say this? Broad is the road that leads to destruction. And narrow is the road, and small is the gate that leads to life. Listen, choose the most difficult road. Typically, that will be the one to make you more like Christ. Last piece of advice. And this is something that, again, I've learned over the course of a lifetime. This is not all the answers. I would tell you to trust God always, always, always. But here's the best piece of advice I can give you. Darkness about going is light about staying. What in the world does that mean? Darkness about going is light about staying. I want you to consider the pillar of fire at night. People could travel at night in the light of the pillar, and so it was really easy. When the pillar of fire started to move and there was enough light to take the next step, the Israelites would move. But if the next step was into darkness, they would do the harder thing, wait. Darkness about going is light about staying. If you face a decision and that next step is into sheer darkness, you probably know it's not the right time. You have to wait. And then when there's enough light to take that next step, that's when you take it. Darkness about going is light about staying. So Tony Jones is a spiritual writer. Read a couple of his books, and he's a very insightful person. He writes in one of his books that he lives in Minneapolis, and he was working at a coffee shop. He said, I was writing most of this book at a coffee shop. Sounded like he was describing a Starbucks. It was in a shopping strip. And he said, I noticed one day as I'm typing, working my little computer, I see a brand new BMW parked on the edge of the parking lot. Everyone else is parked up here by the Target, and this one car is out here all by itself. He said, it's a brand new car. Tags are not even on it yet. He said, then a Minneapolis windstorm kicks up, and a shopping cart escapes the cart corral. You know where this is going, right? He said, I watched with amazement as this one lone cart careened across the parking lot straight for that new car. It's like the BMW had a tractor beam pulling it in. He said, 200 feet, 100 feet, 50 feet, boom, right in the front quarter panel. And he says this, it seems to me that God is a lot like that shopping cart. God always seeks us out. No matter how far away we park, and no matter how much we try to avoid bumping into the divine creator of the universe, God always finds us, and he always leaves his mark. Isn't it good to know that as you're trying to seek God's guidance, God is seeking you? That's it. And this is what makes Christianity completely distinct and unique from every other religion and every other faith. Every other religion and faith is about the giving of rules. God did not just give rules. He gave himself. This is the incarnation, that God would come himself in person to seek you out. And while you're trying to figure out what God wants, God already knows what you need. And it's him. May you and God bump into each other. And may he leave his mark on your life. Let's stand together and let's pray together this morning. I want to give you that opportunity in an attitude of prayer to make that confession. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is your moment to reaffirm your faith with that ancient confession that Jesus is Lord. If you're not a follower of Christ, do not say these words unless you're ready to mean them for the first time. Unless you understand that you've walked away from God, God has sought you out, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has restored a relationship between you and the Lord, between you and himself. And so would you say with me those words as a confession, Jesus is Lord. Let's say them together right now. Jesus is Lord. God, thank you that you provide for us every step along the journey. We are on this marathon. We have a long lifetime ahead to follow you. May we stay inside of the smoke May we stay within the sphere of the glow of your grace. May we follow you when times are good so that we can follow you with confidence when times are bad, and they certainly will be. Thank you for your guidance. You are a mystery to us in so many ways, but one thing that is not a mystery is your love for us. You have made that obvious in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You have made your love expressed powerfully in his resurrection from the dead. And you have reminded us of your love this morning as we have met you here, the living Christ, in this place. God, I pray for your guidance on every person here. Decisions we face with our family and with our careers and with where we live, all of that. Whatever decision we make, would it always draw us closer to you and make us more like Christ? For it is in his name that we offer our prayer. Amen.